This week in our news series called Financing the Future, examining school bonds and levies, we looked at the finances and infrastructure of the Boise School District. We studied school bonds, past and present, and walked through aging buildings slated for a teardown. We also visited a career technical high school ready to expand its programs and saw overcrowding at a dual language immersion school. As we conclude our series looking at the Boise School Bond, we invited a member of our partner in the venture, Idaho Ed News, to share insights on the series and what can be expected as the March 14th election draws near. Our Matt Gillum sat down with Kevin Richert to wrap up the series.
We're wrapping up our series today, Financing the Future, and joining me for a conversation is Idaho Ed News' Kevin Richert. Just briefly, tell me a little bit about Idaho Ed News and what your approach to education coverage is.
Well, we're a website focused on covering K-12 policy and the politics that surround K-12. We've been in existence since 2013, so that's given me a chance the past 4 years to really kind of specialize in K-12 in general, but also take a deeper look at this whole issue of school finance and school elections. I've been a reporter now for over 30 years, almost all of that time in Idaho. So I've covered this as a reporter and as an editor and as an opinion writer.
So what sort of response have you been hearing about our joint series, Financing the Future?
I think it's been a good response. I think people, what I think we set out to do on our end and what I think we all tried to set out to do is help people understand what's at stake in Boise and across the state with these elections, with these bond issues and levies. A lot of decisions that voters are going to have to make here in a couple of weeks, and it's an election because it falls in the middle of March. These tend to be elections that don't get a lot of attention. So I think it's been a good opportunity to shine a light on what's at stake here, what the school districts across the state are trying to get done, and why they feel like they need taxpayer support to get there.
So even though we've looked at this Boise school bond from various angles, explained how it works and really, you know, tackled it from various perspectives, do you think it's still going to be hard to convince voters to pass it?
I think it's hard to get to that two-thirds supermajority threshold for just about any bond issue. I think any school administrator or really any local official, because this applies to cities and counties and other local projects, I think they'd all tell you have to do a really good job of explaining what you're trying to do, explaining how the money is going to be spent, where the money is spent, what is the impact on taxpayers. You have to run a very good campaign and a very smart campaign to get to that two-thirds threshold. It's tough.
Well, you mentioned the timing of this election in March. Do you think that a hypothetically low turnout could help this pass?
You know, that's been kind of the speculation for years about whether school elections, because they're held a lot of times because they're held outside of the general election or the primary, is it easier to pass a bond issue because the turnout is low? Is it harder because there are folks who are dead set against a bond issue or dead set against a property tax initiative, that they'll come out and vote regardless and whenever? So there are two schools of thought to it. But one thing that is clear is that in general, the turnout for these elections is low. It tends to be really low compared to general elections, really low compared to primaries. These are your elections that tend to get decided by a rather small subset of the voting population.
Well, a lot of people that we've talked to throughout our coverage had very positive views of the bond. Who's opposing this? Have you heard any groups that say this is a bad or a risky idea?
Well, that's kind of the thing that I've always found in covering bond issues or covering voter initiatives like this. There doesn't tend to be organized, mobilized opposition all the time. And I think this is the case in Boise. I haven't heard of any groups that have mobilized, that have organized and have publicly campaigned against this bond issue. You do have a group that's working for the passage of the bond issue, and that's the way it usually tends to work. It's hard to find that other side of the debate sometimes, because that other side of the debate tends to be behind the scenes, below the radar.
Could apathy be what kills this bond?
It could be. Again, when it only takes a third of the voting community to reject a bond issue, it's just difficult to pass. I mean, that's a tough threshold, and we're one of only two states in the union that requires a two-thirds supermajority for a bond issue.
Ahead of the March 14th election, there are going to be a few public events for people to attend to get more information about the bond. Can you tell me a little bit about those?
So there are two events coming up. On March 9th, City Club of Boise is going to have a forum focused not just on the Boise bond issue. They'll have the superintendent of the West Ada School District and the superintendent of the CUNA District. They both have ballot measures coming up on March 14th as well. On March 10th, the following day, we're partnering with the Chamber of Commerce for an event focusing on the school elections a little bit. We'll have Don Coberly, the Boise superintendent, on the panel. We'll have a lobbyist for the School Boards Association and a state senator from Boise, Janie Ward Engelking. We'll talk about the elections, but we'll also talk about what's going on at the legislature. So it'll be a good opportunity to maybe try to bring that into full focus, because as you talk about these voter measures and you talk about these ballot initiatives, it always does kind of come back to what's going on at the state level and what's going on with the state budget. So a chance for people to take part in that. That's being co-sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce.
Devin Richard with Idaho Ed News. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you.